You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Finland declares it will permanently phase out Russian energy as a giant floating gas terminal arrives. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. At almost 1,000 feet long and 140 feet wide, Finland hopes a giant LNG ship will be one of the final pieces in its bid to exclude all Russian energy from its power supply. As temperatures plummet in northern Europe, seeing the US exemplar vessel moor in the port of Inkoo yesterday will have come as a welcome sight. Finland was one of the European countries unable to get gas from Russia when it cut supplies following its invasion of Ukraine. From mid-January, though, Finland thinks it will be self-sufficient and able to supply the Baltic states too. Olli Sipilä, CEO of the network Gas Grid Finland, who've been managing the arrival, said the ship had helped them respond rapidly to the crisis.
You can implement it fast. And in typical times, the fast is 2 to 3 years. Now we needed to implement in a half a year. Therefore, you need to negotiate the contract. You need to find the place to put it, which has a deep enough fairways and access to the gas network. There's tons of things you need to do in a very condensed time. So massive effort from a huge team.
In terms of some of those technicalities, Olli, you were lucky, would that be the right word, in terms of some of the previous infrastructure in the port?
Yeah, actually, since 1970s, a coal power plant, and the harbour was mainly serving that coal shipments. It has a deep fairway, so there was a good industrial site that with a good harbour.
And in this occasion, Olli, where has the gas come from?
For the startup load, the source of that gas is Egypt, but we are welcoming any source of the LNG. Only in this situation, the Russia is excluded because the terminal is developed to be an alternative to the Russia supply.
And in terms of volumes, Olli, what does it mean in terms of how much gas is this ship going to be able to provide to the grid?
Annually, we have estimated 40 terawatt hours can be regasified.
And in kind of layman's terms, give us a sense of that. What can that power and for how long?
I think it's several hundreds of thousands of homes heating for a year in the Nordic conditions. So,
pretty significant.
It's a major. Or in a gas terms, in terms of gas energy, in an hour, it can supply four times a modern nuclear power plant.
And it's not just yourselves, though, isn't it? You're sharing it with other countries in the region, too.
Definitely. And this was the plan all along, that it serves both Finland and the Baltic states. And now we will have Inkoo terminal. Then we have a similar size LNG terminal, a floating one in Klaipeda, Lithuania, in the very south of Baltics. And then in the middle, in Latvian, we have a underground storage for gas. So with these two terminals and this storage, we are able to secure quite many scenarios of the needs in this whole region, and also connect it with the Poland and rest of the Europe. So I think this was all along the plan to help the whole region to accommodate the current crisis.
And obviously in the short term, it is that current crisis that you're thinking about. But we also know that LNG and gas is a critical part in terms of energy transition as well, isn't it? So looking forward, as we look to try and get more green power in Europe onto our power grid, how important could, firstly, this vessel, and then what? Would something more permanent potentially replace it?
I think gas molecules, if they are natural gas, biogas, synthetic gas, or hydrogen, they will enable this transition. So when you implement those amounts of wind power and solar power and additional clean electricity forms, you need something to store and have the flexibility in the system. And we see the molecules being very fit for that purpose. But eventually, I think this is a way to also green the gas sector. So I think it will enable the fast, reliable and affordable transition what Europe needs.
Olli Sipilä, CEO of Gas Grid Finland, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much for the time and the interview.
We're saying in Europe now, the European Union health officials are meeting today to decide on a coordinated response after China announced it was easing foreign travel restrictions from next week, despite its rising COVID cases, as the BBC's Simon Jones reports.
There's growing international concern about the surge in COVID cases in China as it prepares to reopen its borders to international travel, but no consensus over how best to respond to it. The US says from early next year, all passengers arriving from China will need proof of a negative test to enter the country. Some of China's neighbours, India, Japan and Taiwan, are also introducing restrictions. And the European Commission will meet today to discuss a possible coordinated approach after Italy announced its own measures.
The BBC's Simon Jones there. Well, markets responded to those Chinese travel fears as we check the numbers now. Where European stock indexes were mixed in early trading as those soaring COVID-19 cases in China countered earlier optimism about the country dropping its strict zero COVID policy. London off by the most right now, down about 0.2%. All week we've been looking at the world of cryptocurrencies, from investors to nations like El Salvador, where Bitcoin has been embraced by the government. But there's also a drive to regulate the industry to protect investors. The European Union has been working on this. Our colleague Rahul Tandon spoke to Irene Tingali, chair of the European Parliament's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee, about Europe's new Markets in Crypto Assets Rules, or MiCA.
We would hope for a global regulation, but we know how difficult it is to achieve that. I see that the debate in the United States, it's very heated, it's controversial, and it will probably take longer than in the European Union, where we already adopted some regulation during the summer.
MiCA is going to come into place in 2024. What exactly are we talking about?
There will be some requirements, both for the crypto assets issuers, because they will be subject to a careful authorization process. We gave powers to the European Securities and Market Authority. They will have intervention powers to prohibit or restrict the provision of crypto asset services by these providers that do not comply. Of course, we have to be careful in trying not to prohibit the activity. So we want to regulate, not to completely prohibit.
You don't want to go too far and completely damage an industry that is growing quite rapidly. But on the other hand, you don't want to do too little and not protect investors here. That dividing line is very difficult.
We don't want to impede or kill innovation or new industries to emerge, but we need to protect consumers.
But some people will say, maybe it is the time to put a temporary ban on cryptocurrency trading and develop a better structure and later on in time be in a better position to deal with it.
It's impossible to stop it everywhere. So simply banning it now, it's like closing your eyes, see what happens. And then if you lift up the ban one day when the industry will be much bigger and will have grown autonomously without any sort of monitoring or regulation, I'm not sure that's the right way.
Irene Tingali speaking to Rahul Tandon there. Well, you can get in touch with us and let us know. Do you think there should be more regulation in crypto? I'm at WillBain31 on Twitter. And if you want to listen back, do well, check out our podcast wherever you get yours from. I'm Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.